Look, I think probably the underlying issue is that the prison system seems to be out of control in New South Wales and perhaps around the country as well, in the sense that it's just rapidly expanding. In New South Wales, in the ABS report that came out last week, showed we had a 12% increase in New South Wales in 1 year. This is absolutely dramatic. So a third of all prisoners are in Australia are in New South Wales. Compared to Victoria, where I'm speaking from, we have half the number of people in prison in Victoria. So, you know, the population's difference between New South Wales and Victoria is not so great. New South Wales doesn't have a lot greater crime, doesn't have double the crime that Victoria has. Our prison population in Victoria has been increasing rapidly too, but it's just sitting over 6,000. New South Wales has 12,000. So the underlying issue is not public or private. It seems to me the underlying issue is, you know, what are we using the prisons for? You know, it's not to do with solving crime. It's a huge expense to the community. And so therefore the discussion that the Premier's put forward, or the Minister, you might want to privatise another facility in New South Wales, is in some ways a distraction. But you could say, well, it's a growth industry, therefore the business interests who make huge profits out of the taxpayer, they'll be there, Serco, G4S, Geo Group, the big international prison groups. They're also the same groups who run the immigration detention centres and also gaining huge profits from those businesses as well.
So now you've actually written in the past about the costs of prison privatisation in Victoria. Well, what kind of things have we learned from this?
You don't learn very much, because insignificant difference. One of the things that the private prisons did do in Victoria and in Queensland when they were first implemented was, if you like, break open the stranglehold of the prison officers union, which was resisting the forces of change and reform. So if there is one good outcome of having 25% of our prison cells in Australia under private prison hands, is that it does actually open up the possibility that there can be more prison reform. And especially if the New South Wales government is insisting on slashing reoffending rates. But, you know, the way we design prisons in Australia compared to other places, insightful places like Scandinavia, we design the prisons almost to fail. In Victoria, only 6% of male prisoners have finished secondary education. Now, I'm not sure what the figure is for New South Wales, but it would be pretty similar. So if you think only 6% of the male inmates have finished secondary education, doesn't that give you a little bit of a hint as to what's going on here? The people who haven't had access to good schools, have had a disrupted, you know, background, haven't got access to employment, we're essentially warehousing them more and more throughout the country, and particularly in New South Wales, in this dramatic 12% increase in a year.
Now, if you're just joining me, I'm speaking to Peter Norden, adjunct professor at RMIT, about prison systems. And, I mean, if you're talking about this privatization talk as a bit of a distraction from the real issue, has there been any talk about this, about education and what's going on behind the scenes with the prison rates and imprisonment?
Look, people like myself and in New South Wales, Professor Tony Vincent, have been talking about this for decades. I mean, has there been any talk about it? I've been...
At an official level, anyway.
Yeah. Well, we've all met with the state ministers and produced results. Tony Vincent's recent study, Dropping Off the Edge, shows a huge concentration of the prison population coming from a small handful of most disadvantaged postcodes. So the criminal justice system, police, courts and prisons are mining more and more deeply those most disadvantaged postcodes throughout New South Wales and the rest of the country, and warehousing people in prison. Now, to think that, you know, particularly a vulnerable 18-year-old, 19-year-old who's committed a crime goes to prison, do you think that that exposure is actually going to help that young man or young woman reform and rehabilitate when they're put into an overcrowded prison system? They're the most vulnerable people in the system, the youngest, I used to work at Pentridge Prison as a chaplain, and we called that the College of Knowledge. The College of Knowledge, because as people came in, the magistrate might said, "I'm going to send you in to learn a lesson." Well, I can tell you what the lesson that was learnt was not the lesson that was intended by the judge or the magistrate. So we only have a certain amount of money in state budgets, and it's got to be divided between health, education, transport, housing, and things like justice. And increasingly, certainly in New South Wales, more than any other state or territory in the country, with a 12% increase in a year, and it's been going on for a while, more and more of the state's revenue is being spent in the construction and the maintenance
facilities. On that point, I mean, there's plans to reopen the Parramatta Jail, which is over 200 years old, and insiders say it could cost double the amount of Kirkconnell. So where does that fit into this?
Yeah. See, what I think the biggest solution is not beyond the discussion about the criminal justice system. It's about good planning. It's about not building houses, but building communities. And in the older established communities, bringing about greater social cohesion and integration. You think of the people, they're out of their cars now because it's midday, but so many people around Sydney and Melbourne have to drive up to 2 hours or sit on a train for an hour or two to get to work. So it's a lack of good planning that has good schools in disadvantaged areas and access to employment opportunities in your locality. If you've got to travel more than 30 minutes in the morning and again at night to get to work, you haven't planned a good community. It's not a community that's going to sustain itself. It will lead to all sorts of tensions, may not be criminal or could be in the area of domestic violence. All these things are related. So what the state governments have to do is to do better social planning that brings about livable and affordable communities.